So if you get rid of all of the little things that affect you, then you can focus directly on what moves you forward. And that's what we need to focus on. Not on all the little things, not the he said, she said, not that that made me feel this way, or that's happening in the future, or that happened in the past, but what is going to move us forward individually, as a business, as an EBU, as an industry, what's the main things that move us forward?
You're listening to Elevate, the official podcast of Elite Agent for real estate industry sales professionals, property managers, and leaders. With thanks to our partner, Connect Now, Elevate brings you the best tools, thinking, and strategies to elevate your results. For more information about how Connect Now can make moving easier for your clients, visit connectnow.com.au. And to get new episodes of Elevate directly to your inbox, sign up at eliteagent.com/subscribe.
Well, hello, it's Steve Carroll here. You're probably expecting to hear the voice of Samantha McLean. Well, Samantha is on holiday and she has put me into the hot seat at the Elite Agent podcast studio here in the Gold Coast. And I'm delighted to have one of Australia's, I think, leading real estate CEOs, Adrian Knowles from Harcourse. Welcome, Adrian.
Thank you, mate. Thank you for the compliment.
A quick story for you. When I came over to Australia in 2006, the first job I had to do was find a house for our family, and we rented a property through Harcourse in Chapel Hill. So my relationship with the Harcourse brand has been since I arrived off the plane back in 2006. So it's great to have you as a guest on this podcast today.
Well, it's awesome to be invited, and I'm excited to get into some of these questions that you've laid out for us.
Yeah, well, I wanted to go pretty tough with the questions because you're a leader with a lot of experience, and let's get straight into it because, look, everybody is aware of the Harcourse brand, and in fact, I've just returned from the UK, and when I ask people in the UK to talk about brands that they're familiar with, the Harcourse brand just comes up time and time again. So whatever you're doing from a marketing point of view, you're doing a good job. So congratulations on that, Adrian.
That's exciting to hear.
So for the people who don't know you, Adrian, I've got a couple of icebreaker questions. So pretty easy ones, and then we'll get into the meaty stuff of leadership as we go. So checking you out on Facebook, a couple of interesting photographs on your Facebook profile pictures. Can you tell me the story behind those, please, Adrian?
Yeah, the profile picture is a gorgeous picture of my three boys when my youngest Franklin was born. I believe that my number one job and most important job is a father and a present father, which, as most people in real estate, both mothers and fathers know, that it's a tough job because you are drawn away in a lot of the most important times in your kids' lives. So I would honestly believe that I spend more present time with my kids, even though I travel every week and even though I do a lot of late nights or nights away from home, that time that I'm at home is present directly with them and my wife. So it is my number one job and something incredibly important.
Yeah, excellent. And part of your profile picture is a picture of you interviewing Alex Jordan from McGrath.
Yeah.
And that surprised me, actually. I thought, well, hang on a minute. We've got Harcourts and McGrath competing with each other, and he's clearly at one of your conferences. What's the story behind that?
There's a story of Plato and a cave. One thing that you'll know about me, or some will know about me, is I love Greek Stoicism. So one of the stories is Plato and a cave, or Plato's The Cave. And it's about a story of three people that lived in a cave their whole life. And they were elderly at this stage. And so their whole life was about trying to work out what the shadows were on the walls of the cave that were thrown from the fire. And they would think that, wow, that shadow was a beautiful flower, or look at that tree, or imagine that is what a sunrise is like. And then one actually found a way out of the cave. And when he got up there, he goes, wow, we were completely wrong. These flowers are amazing. Look at that sunrise. Look at those horses. And he went back down and he said to the other two, this is the way out. And they said, no, we're happy here. And I use that analogy for the one reason. The one reason is this. Harcourts is a brand, and if we only use experts from within our brand to share their knowledge, then we will only have what's currently existing here. For those that know Alex, he is the most humble and incredible speakers, very articulate and very, very smart. And so we've done that for the last three HXs, and also well before that. That's our main stage at the largest conference that we do here in Australia in June. And it was all about getting other perspective. And his journey has been incredible, was in the business in real estate for a long time before he really kind of had some significant cut through. And I was on that journey working the same state as an agent and a principal. So I knew that journey intimately, and we've always hit it off and got along really well. So he also, just to let all the listeners know, he is the highest rated individual speaker at our conferences in the last 3 years.
Wow.
Yeah, and we call that a fireside chat for those that look at that photo. The whole background was this huge 34, 35 meter screen, and it was us sitting on couches with a fire kind of behind us. It was a cool atmosphere, that's for sure.
Yeah, it looks a good picture. And this is an interesting one, Adrian, and I have to confess, ChatGPT gave me this question. So if Harcourts had a playlist on Spotify, what would be the opening track and why?
Opening track, Happier or Happy by Pharrell Williams.
Okay, expand.
We live by a set of values, a vision and a purpose, but the overarching thought behind what I'm trying to achieve is greatness is only achieved when someone is happy, from my experience. So if we can make our vendors happy, if we can make our landlords, our buyers, our tenants, if we can make our franchisees, our admin, if everyone is working from a level of happiness, only good things can come from that.
Yeah, I love it.
So Happy by Pharrell Williams for sure.
What about a playlist for yourself? Maybe I should ask you this question and then ask your wife the same question, but she's not on the podcast, so I can only ask you. So,
well, I'll answer for her, because music is a way of making me happy. So at the moment, and it depends on the year, the month, but at the moment it would be a playlist of Zach Bryan country music from the US.
Excellent. And a particular track with particular lyrics?
He is an incredible young lyricist. So all of his lyrics are actually incredible and hold significant meaning. I would say Dawns, I think, because it's a song all about wanting to have more dawns with your partner.
Love
it. If that makes sense. So more days, more dawns, more nights, more everything.
Yeah, love it. Hey, I have to say, just on that, Peter Brewer did a talk at Elite Retreat. I know you had a couple of your Harcourts team there, which was great. And he did a talk about a book that he's just written, which is called Running Out of Saturdays. And when you think about that, that's such a great title, Running Out of Saturdays. So Peter Brewer, so looking forward to that.
Well, if you think about it, I'm 40 now. We've just finished winter, or are finishing winter. I've only got, on average, 40 more winters to go.
Yeah, absolutely.
When you think about it, there's a lot to do in that time.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Now, I checked out your LinkedIn profile, and without question, you've had incredible success in your career, and more success to come, I'm sure, Adrian. So well done on that. But I'm just interested, as part of the sort of getting to know you a little bit better, what's a quirky or unconventional habit you have that has actually contributed to your success?
I read a book early on, How to Win Friends and Influence People. And the story behind that book, my wife and I were traveling through Nepal, and we were whitewater rafting, and we pulled over the rafts to pack up or create our tents for the night. And this storm rolled through the valley and with hail and wiped out all of our clothing, all of the tents, the whitewater rafts were ending down the river. And we needed to make a fire because it was so cold in the valley. And the only dry thing that we had was How to Win Friends and Influence People, the book. So we ended up using that to start a fire. But one of the things in there was essentially how to be the most interesting person in a room is by asking questions like, why is that? Or how do you mean? And asking people to elaborate. The most interesting person in the room is never the person that has the greatest stories. They're the people that ask questions about what the people they're talking to are speaking about.
Yeah, I agree with that completely. No, good answer. So we were talking about Elite Retreat upon Hayman Island, and the theme this year was around genius moves. So moves that people within real estate and out of real estate have made that have had a significant bearing on their success, their enjoyment out of life, their family, and so on and so forth. So when you reflect on your 40 years, Adrian, what's a genius move that you have made in your life professionally or personally that you're extremely proud of?
I wouldn't call it a genius move, but something that I feel has impacted my work life and personal life the most is probably two things. I was really drilled into me early on that if you do the work, the success and money comes. Don't chase the money first and then end up being mediocre, essentially. I'm not a good negotiator when taking on new roles. I've taken on entry-level roles in different corporate entities and then done the work to work myself to the position that I am in. I never asked for outrageous money. I just want to go in and prove myself first. So that's probably one of the things that has placed me in the position I'm in now. Second best move that we found in our family and in my professional life was moving out of the city and moving to Tambourine Mountain. I've got a 14-kilometer climb in the drive on the way up the mountain. And as I do that, my intention, I'll be really intentional about it, is to leave stress, leave anger, leave anxiety, leave everything at the bottom of the mountain so as not to take it home.
Yeah, I love that. And hey, a genius move that I've picked up about you is if you want to get hold of you, ring between 6:30 and 8 o'clock because you're going to be in the car on the way to. So that's a genius move from Steve Carroll.
Yeah, and you can do that morning or night because I'll be in the car both times.
Yeah,
I don't believe in a workday 9 to 5. Most of my time in the mornings, if I'm not speaking to people at 6, I'm listening to podcasts or books on Audible. But most of the time, people know they can catch me then.
Yeah, excellent. And look, what's a failure or setback in your career that when you reflect on it, you think, wow, that was a blessing in disguise because that's really shaped me and shaped what I'm about? Because we all have setbacks. What springs to mind?
I think they can be looked at setbacks or opportunities. And I always think about things as doors that open for you. And the setback is generally when you don't walk through that door of opportunity. And the real genius move is when you do. To be honest, I haven't been ready for probably all of my corporate roles. Every time I've not been ready, but I've not only has it been the opportunity being given to me and they've taken a risk per se on me, but I've also walked through that door of opportunity as many times as I can. And made sure that I outwork everyone that would have maybe got that role. But it always comes down to never wasting an opportunity, assessing every opportunity for what it is and never wasting it ever.
Yeah, excellent. No, good answer. Now, interesting, I was talking to a real estate business owner over in Perth who has just joined the Harcourts network. He was at Elite Retreat. And I said to him, why Harcourts? Why did you make the decision to join Harcourts? And one of the things that he said to me was he just saw your appetite, the company's appetite to look to the future, to start planning early, not to, you know, I suppose to be in control of what's about to come as opposed to it just happening to you. And that was one of the reasons why he joined your group. And so, with that in mind, I've got a question for you, which was actually my icebreaker question at Hayman Island a few weeks ago. So what's a topic that very few people, if anyone in fact, this is not talking about right now, but will be studied by historians in the future. So for the audience who are just probably trying to get their head around that question, I got asked that very question a few months ago. And my answer was, I can see a day where no one will ever drive a car anymore with a steering wheel because we'll all be jumping into cars that are driverless. So the answer I gave to the question was the topic that very, very few people are talking about right now is the transition from cars as we know it to cars that are just pure driverless cars. And without question, in 50 years' time, historians will be talking about that moment of change. What springs to mind when I ask that question to you, Adrian?
What happens when banks realize that it's cheaper to employ real estate agents to sell properties for vendors for free if they were to keep their next mortgage with that same bank?
Right.
So a bank on the average mortgage will make anywhere between $500 and $1 million over the term of the loan. What happens if banks realize that employing sales agents and likely paying them the same amount that they earn now, employing them as employees and selling properties for vendors for free will ensure that that next loan stays with that bank?
Yeah, fantastic. Love that thinking. And on the subject of the future, obviously, we've got the Olympic Games coming to our home city, Brisbane. You've got a lot of offices in Queensland. Without giving away the crown jewels, where is your thinking? Where is Harcourt's thinking on the opportunities that are going to exist for your group when the Olympic Games come to Australia?
Yep. The opportunity is going to be incredibly difficult to capitalize on. I was recently at a Chamber of Commerce meeting down on the Gold Coast talking about exactly this. Queensland needs over 1 million properties to be built over the next 10 years, so prior to the Games, just to cope with existing relocation to Queensland. The Queensland construction industry has the ability to build 495,000 homes. So where are the rest coming from? I think there's going to be massive opportunity in share housing. There's going to be massive opportunity in alternate living arrangements. But for us, obviously, our job is always going to be for our clients, which is the landlords, the tenants, the buyers, and the sellers. So how do we make sure that Harcourts as a company, led by its values, is able to change the perception of the industry? So using Harcourts as a vessel by keeping really strong values to change the perception of the industry to make sure that we can assist as many of those clients in the next 10 years as possible.
Yeah, excellent. Like that train of thought. Can I just talk about Qantas for a second? Because it seems to me, Adrian, that Australians have fallen out of love with Qantas. And when I came to Australia back in 2006, you know, that relationship between Qantas and the Australian population was amazing. And for whatever reason, that is no longer the case. If you were CEO for Qantas, just for a week, what would be the key questions you would ask? Or what would be the key decisions or changes that you would make to start that love affair happening all over again?
I love Qantas, and I still do. They are more on time than any other airline, and I get a better experience. And that's what I believe it comes down to. So my question to the leadership team and every kind of level underneath that is, how do we make sure Qantas is recognized as the finest experience in airlines again?
Yeah.
So that means understanding that experience, and you taught me this actually 12, 13 years ago. You spoke about it, and I've asked you to send me, and I've used your photo many times before. When you were over in Google, I believe the story was, when the quote on the wall was, you are no longer competing with the finest experience in your industry, you're competing essentially with the finest experience a customer has ever had. Now, I think it was similar to that. I may have changed it over the last 12 years, but that's what we have to bring it back to every time, is how do we elevate that experience to the finest experience, not only in the industry, but that they receive on a daily basis.
Yeah, no, it's really interesting. I'm interested in your thoughts on this as well, because one of the things that saddens me about the, so let's move on from Qantas and let's just talk about real estate. It saddens me that the real estate industry in Australia still has a poor reputation with Australians. And I know, and you know, that there are many, many, many people within the real estate industry doing great things for community, for charities, both in Australia and overseas. You know, I think this industry, and Harcourts have got a fair share of them, are full of real big-hearted people who want to do the right thing and make the world a better place. But as an industry, we've failed to get the population to love us. What do we need to do?
Raise the bar of entry. We have to attract a different level of people to the industry, and we need to make it more difficult to get in. It's the lowest bar of entry with the highest income opportunity of any industry that I know. So we need to elevate the bar. We need to make it more difficult to attract a different caliber of people. Because the simple fact is, and we all know it, we have a huge amount of incredible people in this industry. And more incredible people than bad is the minority of people that are taking shortcuts to get deals done for their own benefit instead of the client's benefit.
Yeah.
And it is always the fact that negative feedback travels faster and a lot further than positive.
Yeah, no, very, very interesting. It was a question that, and we don't have time to go through it now, but it was a question I asked a number of CEOs when I was in the UK, because they have the same challenge. And it's interesting to see how the UK leaders are tackling that. And I think there's a real opportunity to bring the Australian and the UK industry together to collaborate on that particular topic.
And that comes back to our main vision, value, and purpose. We live by values. They're not just words on a wall. They're a scaffolding in which we can make decisions on what the best thing to do is in each circumstance. So if we live them, if we share that with more people in the industry to do so, which is my ambition, then we can change that. We've got a vessel to do so.
Yeah, no, good stuff. Now, imagine you're having a 30-minute conversation with your company or yourself on your 50th birthday, because you've already told me that you're 40. So 10 years from now, you're still at Harcourts and you're just about to drive to the Tambourine Mountains to celebrate that milestone. But imagine you're having that conversation with Harcourts 10 years from now and everything is brilliant. Everything is rosy. You've made the most of the Olympic Games. You've made the most of all the trends and what have you that have been thrown at you. What do you think are decisions that need to be made today, this week, this year, for that to happen?
It comes down to alignment. And it comes down to a decision around alignment of who the client is for our business. And this is something that creates much controversy within the Harcourts group and outside, is our perception of who the client is actually the landlord, the tenant, the buyer, and the seller. So as a franchisor, that's very different, because you would generally think that our client is the client in which pays us, who is the franchisee. The franchisee's client are the agents or their staff, and the agent's and staff's client is the people at the kitchen table. But the way that we think about it is, if we all have the same opinion that the client is the person that we are working for at the end of the day, and we all have the same ambition for that exact client all the way through all of those different stakeholders, then that's the only way that we can have true success.
Yeah.
Is if we are all aligned in that same ambition to give the finest experience to that client. And
yeah,
for me,
absolutely,
to affect the end user, I have to affect the franchisees. Therefore, they have to affect that finest experience on their staff, and therefore their staff can do it for the clients.
Yeah, and that's a long burn, but a journey that I'm sure that you'll go on.
The benefit that I have is that journey started a long time ago. So I'm a custodian of that journey more than the creator.
Yeah, excellent. I like that. You're just driving the bus at the moment and hopefully driving the bus for many more years. But at some point, someone else will be driving the bus.
Exactly.
Yeah. And look, one of the things that I admire about Harcourts, and maybe it's because I'm a rugby union tragic, I just love the fact that you have this alignment with the All Blacks, and that's just such a brilliant association. But if we take the All Blacks and people that are associated with the All Blacks out of this question, if you could personally, as the CEO of Harcourts, collaborate with any figure, alive or dead, famous or not famous, who would that person be and what would you work on together? What would you be saying, I need you to help guide, mentor me on this? So two questions. One is, who would it be? And second, what would we work on together?
I'd have to go with, back to the Stoicism, either Seneca or Marcus Aurelius. The reason that I would work with them in particular is around the mental health of our network and of our industry. But some of the theories and the ideas behind Stoicism is around getting to the core root of being present and making one decision. Should that affect me? Because we need to, I feel like, and especially post-COVID, and this is me going on a little rant here, so bear with me. I think that people spent so much time with themselves that post-COVID, they now think a lot more about the things that affect them directly. So from my experience at the moment, there is a hangover from COVID where people's tolerance levels of small things have gone out the window. So every small thing that we used to look past and used to not affect us now affects us all massively. Yeah. So I think Stoicism could bring a real kind of new view to those little things. So if you get rid of all of the little things that affect you, then you can focus directly on what moves you forward. And that's what we need to focus on. Not on all the little things, not the he said, she said, not that that made me feel this way, or that's happening in the future, or that happened in the past, but what is going to move us forward individually as a business, as an EBU, as an industry, what's the main things that move us forward?
Yeah, that's really interesting. And look, I touched on this a couple of times today, but I think it's worth mentioning again. So Paul McGee from the UK, the sumo man, who you may or may not have listened to before, talked at Elite Retreat about event plus response equals outcome. So E plus R equals O. And it was something that I was talking to my daughter about at the weekend, because she got a parking ticket, which in the grand scheme of things is quite small. Now, I get $150 when you're a student is a lot of money, but she was on the cusp of letting that spoil her whole weekend. And I was focusing her attention on the response that she gave to that event, and that would determine whether or not she had a really horrible weekend or a great weekend. So it kind of falls in line with what you've just said, Adrian.
And that's where mindfulness comes, you know, and there's plenty of books that speak about man's search for meaning. The difference in how you feel is the gap in between the incident and your reaction, where you get a short period of time to choose how you react.
Yes. I was speaking to Aisha Koh, who's a great real estate agent down in Geelong, gives a lot of her time to community and charity. And she was talking about that very topic and the fact that it's about 90 seconds. If you can just count to 90 before you make that response, it will have an incredible impact on the outcome of what happens.
From what I've read, the longest chemical reaction for emotion is anger. And that chemical reaction only lasts 9 seconds. But anger, we keep replaying. And that's why it is one of the strongest and longest emotions that we have. It's because we ruminate and replay.
Yeah, I love that. No, that's good. So just a couple of questions to finish off with, and you've already answered this question, so I want to push you for a second one. So if you could rewrite the rule book for the real estate industry, what's one rule you would change or eliminate entirely?
Maybe not a rule, but I would work on attracting more business people to the industry as business owners instead of top performers.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
So I don't know if the general business world in Australia understands the profit and the true success real estate businesses can have. Most businesses are working between 15 and 25% gross profit. There's not a lot of other industries that are achieving that en masse at the moment. So if we attracted business people to run our businesses instead of top performers, I think we would have a different industry.
Yeah, that's really, really interesting. And I was talking to Michelle Tynan, the CEO of the Real Estate Institute of Tasmania this morning. And that was very much her entry. She came into real estate at a CEO level at the Institute in ACT as a business lady. And that perspective that she could give was incredible. And now she's doing the same great work down in Tasmania.
The flip side of that is, how do we support our top performers that do become business owners from a business perspective on a more one-on-one basis?
Yeah, absolutely. And two final things. I might have said two final things, but this will be the two final things. So what's a common piece of advice in the real estate industry that you hear time and time again at conferences or on social media that you completely disagree with? And we don't need to drop any names into this, but when you hear this advice being given, you cringe and think, you know, that's bloody rubbish and not helpful. What would that be?
You have to make 100 phone calls a day.
Really?
Absolutely. Because if you are working to 100, you know, 1 to 100 on a page, and you have this perception that 100 is the number, what are the quality of those phone calls?
Yeah, very, very interesting. I wasn't expecting you to say that.
Yep. So I would always go quality conversations over quantity.
Yeah.
Yep. So quality conversations means speaking to someone regularly with consistency as well as relevant information to them.
Great stuff. Final question. And I promised my eldest son I'd ask you this question today. So he's 23 and he's thinking about a real estate career. What one piece of advice would you give a 23-year-old who is thinking about entering the industry of selling real estate?
I would say start entry level. So I started with a gentleman by the name of Max McGowan in Coorparoo. So I started on reception or property management, then went into leasing, then went into admin, then went into sales. I would say get a whole view of a real estate business prior to entering into the sales arena.
And is that because the knowledge you'll gain will help you down the track, or is that because you'll get a good assessment as to whether or not this industry is right for you or not? And more importantly, which part of the industry you want to work in?
No, I think it's more about a knowledge bank prior to being put into situations where it's no longer practice, it's real life.
Excellent. Well, that's terrific, Adrian. Look, it's been great talking to you today. Samantha McLean is taking a well-earned rest from doing these podcasts. And she said to me, you can choose whichever four leaders, people, agents you want in this industry. And you were one of the four. And I'm delighted that you accepted that invitation. Thank you so much, Adrian.
Thank you, Steve. We've had a long-standing relationship and I've really thank you for everything that you've been able to assist me with as well. So thank you.
Great. Thanks, mate.
Thanks to us.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Elevate Podcast with thanks to Connect Now. To stay in touch with all things Elite Agent, sign up for our daily newsletter, The Brief, at eliteagent.com/subscribe.